Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. And if you were just listening to the last half hour, you might be thinking, what the hell is going on? Did we shift in time somehow? Am I experiencing deja vu? No, not at all. We started the first half hour of the show, and the laptop was being really bitchy and stuttering a whole lot. So I had to reboot it, and that pretty much killed the first half hour. So this hour, I redid the first half hour, and then in post, I'll take that half hour and put it back in the front, and then take the second half hour from the first hour and put it behind that. And to the podcast listeners, they'll have no idea that we dropped out today. To them, it'll sound as if it was a smooth, smooth show. So if you're wondering why I was teasing the interview with Jim Borgasani, which would have been now, because we already did it, I've already got it recorded. So fun stuff to do on a Friday. More editing. Yay, good for me. Now, we've got a call coming in pretty soon here with a very, very talented activist out there, a woman named Angela Baca. And she's been following along the campaign there in Nevada to legalize marijuana and the opposition to that legalization. Most specifically, Kevin Sabet and the forces of Project Sam. And what's at stake here is something we just discussed in Arizona as well. And that is the use of public funds to electioneer against a state ballot initiative. To my knowledge, every state has some statute that prevents the use of state resources for purposes of trying to sway an initiative or any election for that matter. This, of course, came into our world in Oregon back in 2014 when we were trying to legalize marijuana, and Kevin Sabet showed up for what was supposedly the Oregon Marijuana Education Tour. Supposedly just going to educate people at 13 different stops throughout the state about marijuana in general. Nothing about the legalization. We're not going to talk about the legalization initiative. We're not going to tell you how to vote on that. We're just going to show up and tell you that marijuana is the worst thing ever and its presence in society will lead to its downfall. But vote how you like, right? That was their theory, that they could just show up and talk shit about marijuana, which, of course, would be for the purposes of getting people to vote against the initiative. But since they weren't saying vote against the initiative, they thought they could get away with it. Well, in Oregon, our laws are pretty strict on this. Our laws state you can't even have the appearance of electioneering, the hint of electioneering. Our laws are written in such a way that they say if the totality of the content and the speakers, the presenters, could reasonably be interpreted to influence a vote one way or the other, it is electioneering, whether or not they explicitly talk about the initiative or not. So ours is a really broad statute. And because of that, we started doing Freedom of Information Act requests, started finding out that the county district attorneys were spending their work time and email and phone lines calling around the state trying to raise money to pay Kevin Sabet to scare the hell out of us about weed. We found out that the county drug prevention offices were taking money that comes to them from state and federal drug education grants and using that to help pay Kevin Sabet the $3,000 per appearance that he was paid here in Oregon. And that scared, and those, to my knowledge, to my analysis, are violations of that anti-electioneering statute. They were so frightened by this that 6 of the 13 stops canceled and gave the money back or made sure they got a refund or whatever. Well, that same sort of shenanigans happens everywhere, happens in every state where we're trying to legalize marijuana. The forces of the state, in conjunction with law enforcement in that state usually, conspire to get around these restrictions in any way they can, so that they can proselytize against the legalization initiative that's on their ballot or medical that's on their ballot. We saw Kevin Sabet was recently in Arkansas giving a speech. We saw he was in Massachusetts at the reform debate, whatever that was, with his fake gummy bears. Well, he's doing the same kind of shit in Nevada as well, and the same kind of stuff's happening in Arizona. We told you the story of Arizona, right? The state director, one of these state officials who reports directly to the governor, he got an email from one of the anti-pot people that is trying to tear down the idea that marijuana is safer. And then he forwarded it to thousands of state employees, like the state employee email list. So something that's clearly designed to sway the opinions of people voting on Prop 205 was sent using state resources to state employees on state time. But according to the governor, again, who the director directly reports to, according to the governor, his direct employee didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong here. Nothing to see here. Move along. And I bet that has to do with Arizona not having as broad a statute as Oregon does. I'll bet the Arizona statute's more like you have to prove they were saying vote against 205. And the email probably doesn't say that. It probably just says marijuana sucks. And since they legalized in Colorado, the world's gone to hell and whatever. So Angela Baca has been out there investigating this this Nevada situation. And she said she was going to be calling in. She says it's going to voicemail, so that's weird. I don't know why. All right, Angela, I'll try to call you if I had a number, but let me see if I do. Voicemail, huh? Sorry about that. I can't get a hold of her that way either. Well, maybe she's listening and can give me some sort of way to get in touch with her. I don't know why it would be going to voicemail. I'm watching the messages come in. Anyway, so check out your state, North Dakota, Montana, Arkansas, Maine. If you're seeing any of these anti-legalization things going on or any of these prohibitionists coming to your state to do presentations or tours or anything, start asking some questions. Start taking a look at where the money's coming from. Almost every state, as far as I know. Oh, here we go. Coming in. Phone call. There it goes. All right. Looks like we've got the phone lines working here, and I'm hoping that's Angela on the line. And let me make sure the volume's turned up. Can you hear me okay, Angela?
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for your patience trying to get through. I don't know what was happening before, but glad to have you here. Are you currently in Nevada?
No, I'm in Portland.
Okay, calling from Portland, but you've been dealing with the situation in Nevada. What can you tell us?
Right. A friend of mine in the Mormon community saw an advertisement in her LDS church bulletin saying that there were information sessions on Question 2, which is the legalization initiative on the ballot this year, around the valley. And so she brought me down to attend them with her. When we got there, they were hosted by the No On 2 campaign. And they were like headlined with a speaker named Jill McGuire, who is a lobbyist for the Drug Testing Industry Association, as well as the chairwoman of their board.
Hmm. All right. So the church folks were getting this bulletin saying to go to the educational thing. And what's the issue here is how it's being paid for? Who's in trouble here?
Right. Federal campaign laws show that you can't use a tax-exempt religious organization to promote some sort of political cause because of the tax laws there. So it's more of an IRS violation than it is federal tax law violation. What they're doing is calling them neutral information sessions and hosting them at private homes, which is kind of their workaround about it. But the fact that they advertised it in the bulletin is kind of the crossing the line. In 2008, the Mormon Church put a lot of money in the Yes on 8 campaign in California, which was opposed to gay marriage. And after it passed, the feds came in and investigated them for actually lobbying for a bill because it's against federal election law. What's happening here is the No on 2 campaign is taking flyers and putting them in religious organizations around Las Vegas, saying that they will provide information for faith-based communities about this initiative. When you ask for information from them, they're replying solely back with anti-cannabis information, not pro-cannabis information, which leads me to believe that the No on 2 campaign is manipulating religious organizations to break federal law for them.
Hmm. Yeah, this is even deeper than what I was discussing earlier with the state educational funds. We're getting into federal violations here and church tax exempt status. So what has your investigation found so far? Is there a smoking gun here? Have you heard from any federal authorities on this, how this might turn out?
I'm speaking with a group of lawyers right now who are trying to figure out exactly if the law was breaked, where the line broken, where the law was, and how it was crossed. We're working on that right now. But in the meantime, I'm working on an article basically debunking everything Joe McGuire said.
So they've got some of that typical the sky's going to fall if you legalize language going on in that.
Right, but some of it was particularly egregious, saying that there are dispensaries in Colorado that offer dollar dabs to high schoolers on their lunch breaks, that children aren't allowed to bring cupcakes to school on their birthdays anymore because of legal marijuana, and that there's a homeless population that has been attracted to the city that has caused a cultural decline because of legalization, which I would love to see quantified in numbers rather than opinion.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We've heard that that smear try to gain traction, this idea that if you legalize marijuana, there'll be this flood of people coming for the green rush jobs or just to smoke legal pot, and it'll increase your homeless population, which seems to me a great diversion from these cities like Denver and Portland and Seattle and others that are just turning a blind eye to the problem of homelessness and rising rents in their cities.
Yeah, you know, it's largely more of a cultural attack, if anything, that they're using with these faith-based communities. It's the fear of the other, of people that they don't understand. It's not necessarily a fear of the substance. So they're saying that this is kind of a way of the cultural perversion of finding its way in, which is kind of a ridiculous argument, but obviously an effective one in that community.
Wow, this is just amazing. And of course, Nevada is up there with Arizona, Idaho, and Wyoming as being, I think, in the top five states of Mormon population after Utah, of course, number one. So any sort of attempt to sway the Mormon population there could have a big effect. I know they've even got a number of state lawmakers in Nevada that are LDS too. So any response from the church on this? Has there been any contact with them?
Well, historically, the church itself has a huge presence in the West, so it's not really surprising that there would be a lot of Mormons in government in Nevada, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, those sorts of places. The church itself has not taken a stand on this and says that it won't. And I don't want to point the finger at the Mormon community because it's not the Mormon community. There are actually a lot of Mormons who are in support of this issue and have been speaking out for it. Specifically Senator Mark Madsen,
yes,
from Utah, who will be traveling down to Las Vegas in a couple weeks, actually, to host a pro question two forum.
Fantastic. So really the solution we want, the relief we want in this complaint is just that, do we want to have both sides prevented to them or just have no sides? Like at the church, there should be no discussion of this issue, or are we just trying to get equal time?
Well, nobody should be using tax-exempt church money to promote any sort of political agenda, period. That's against federal election law, and it's just wrong. So that's where this really stands. The fact that the church advertised it into the bulletin, that may or may not be a line that was crossed. But I do want to be clear that this isn't the Mormon church specifically.
Right.
This is the No on 2 campaign using faith-based communities to push the vote, because faith-based communities do come out and vote. And in Las Vegas, that is the majority of the population of the state of Nevada. If they do make inroads there, they can defeat question two.
Angela Baca is doing some great work on this, on the activism and investigative journalism angle. If there's anyone out there that's listening that has tips, that maybe knows something going on there in Nevada that could help out, Angela, is there any way they could reach you and maybe collaborate?
Yeah, my email is angelabaca@gmail.com, B-A-C-C-A, and I'm happily taking tips from people right now on multi-state election laws because it's not just Nevada.
Oh, what else are you looking at?
I'm looking specifically at Florida right now as it connects to California as well as Nevada and Colorado and a few other places. It seems a lot of the money is connected.
Wow.
So I've been writing a series for alternate.org. There's three out so far, but basically following Florida's law and how the money has been connected through that.
Well, we are so glad you're out there pouring through these records and making all of these requests and letters. This kind of cannabis investigative journalism, we need plenty more of it. Angela Baca, thanks for doing such a fantastic job. You can find her work at alternate.org. It's Angela, B-A-C-C-A. Angela, thanks so much, and have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you, you too.
All right, and stay tuned, folks. We're going to continue on here. We'll be back with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community right after we take this short break, pay some of our bills. Also, quick note on the Radical Russ website. It's still being worked on. I'm a little behind since the election night coverage has kind of dominated my free time, what little free time I have. But we will get that up as soon as possible and restart the VIP programs, the memberships, the online store, and plenty more. We'll also see what we can do about getting ourselves a kick-ass chat room. We'll be back right after this. Stick around. Radical Russ live in Potland.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.